This is Nightly Business Report with Tyler Matheson and Sue Herrera.
Climbing the food chain, Amazon buys Whole Foods to become a major player in the grocery business and a competitive threat to the entire industry. Charting a new course, President Trump has a different vision for U.S. relations with Cuba than his predecessor, and big business is taking notice. Market Monitor, as more money flows into ETFs, our guest tonight has some picks you might want to consider. Those stories and more tonight on Nightly Business Report for Friday, June 16th. Good evening, everybody, and welcome. I'm Sue Herrera. Tyler Matheson is off tonight. Amazon is on a mission to conquer new territory. Today, it agreed to buy the grocery chain Whole Foods. The price tag? More than $13.5 billion. The deal is Amazon's biggest yet and is an ambitious plan to push into a business that has proven hard for online retailers to crack. If the deal is successful, it could give Amazon a slice of the $800 billion grocery business. The deep-pocketed e-commerce company has already been testing a grocery delivery service, Amazon Fresh, and it's been experimenting with brick-and-mortar stores like Amazon Go that don't need cashiers. The announcement sent shares of Whole Foods soaring, rising 29%, and Amazon was also higher. And while those shares gained, the rest of the supermarket industry felt pain, and a lot of it. SuperValu, Kroger, Sprouts, and Weiss markets all tumbled. Sarah Eisen takes a look at how this new competitive threat could shake up the already hurting grocer industry.
The $800 billion grocery industry in the U.S. may be forever different. Amazon's deal to buy Whole Foods sent stocks of grocers from Kroger to Walmart to Costco tumbling. Why? Well, Amazon is one tough competitor, and it has deep pockets. That means it can lower prices of Whole Foods' natural and organic food products, leaving other groceries no choice but to cut prices as well. Lower prices might even make that organic food more accessible to a wider customer base and actually steal customers. That may be one reason why the packaged food companies, from Hershey to Kellogg to Mondelez, also saw their stocks fall on this news. Amazon also has a broad national reach through its Prime program, Prime Go, Prime Fresh, Prime Pantry, and all sorts of other lines that can help sell Whole Foods branded products all over the country, far beyond the 400-plus stores that Whole Foods operates. But the biggest question for the grocery industry, how does Amazon see the future of groceries? Is it online? Is it in store or some sort of hybrid? We don't know that yet, but one thing is for sure, the country's biggest online retailer buying one of the biggest organic groceries certainly provides a fertile testing ground for experimenting with the future of the way we buy food. For Nightly Business Report, I'm Sarah Eisen.
And it's not just food and grocers that find themselves in the crosshairs of the Amazon Whole Foods deal. Any store that sells food saw their stocks take a hit. And as Sarah just mentioned, that includes the world's biggest retailer and the country's biggest grocer, Walmart, which generates more than half of its annual revenue from food sales. And Walmart could be the real target of Amazon's deal, which sent the stock falling more than 4.5%. Courtney Reagan has more.
Amazon is buying Whole Foods with plans to keep its more than 450 stores and brand intact, along with Whole Foods CEO and co-founder John Mackey. The big worry, though, isn't what will happen to Whole Foods, but what it means for any other business that sells groceries, especially Walmart, the country's largest grocer. Walmart says this in response, quote, "Our customers are looking for shopping experiences that provide everyday low pricing and a mix of physical and digital channels that work best for their needs. We feel great about our position with more than 4,500 stores around the country and fast-growing e-commerce and online grocery businesses." Walmart does have 10 times the number of stores as Whole Foods and has online grocery pickup at nearly 700 locations and growing. It also has increased its fresh and organic options. Whole Foods and Walmart do serve very different shoppers. Whole Foods customers tend to be more urban, higher income, and Walmart serves a lower income, more rural or suburban shopper. But investors aren't so sure that Walmart won't be hurt by Amazon's purchase of Whole Foods. When Amazon enters a category, whether it's books, video streaming, or cloud computing, it plays to win. and it pushes prices lower. Amazon cares less about profit and more about pleasing customers. Whole Foods has a reputation for high prices, so if prices fall, it could attract new shoppers. Walmart has already been lowering its prices, in part to get back to its lowest price roots, and in part to compete with Lidl, a German grocer with rock-bottom prices on its own label products that just opened its first U.S. stores this week.
This is one space that Walmart was continuing to dominate. They hadn't yet felt the threat from Amazon. And now we have a brand new player in this very, very challenging market, which is grocery. The grocery space is challenging from a profitability perspective. Nobody's really cracked the code of how to deliver groceries via e-commerce to consumers. It hasn't really passed that tipping point yet that other subsectors of the industry have. And this could really be a big game changer.
Perhaps the bigger concern for Walmart and non-grocery retailers is if Amazon begins to use Whole Foods stores as distribution or pickup points. Buy online, pickup in store is something Walmart has over Amazon, at least right now. For Nightly Business Report, I'm Courtney Reagan.
AB Mendez joins us now to talk more about the Amazon Whole Foods deal. He is the portfolio manager with Frost Investment Advisors. Good to see you again, AB. Welcome.
Good to be here. Thank you, Sue.
Let me start, first of all, with what you think about this deal.
At a high level, I think the criticism that you hear most often is that it'll be dilutive or negative for Amazon's margins. But what I would say to that actually is that while Whole Foods has lower margins, it will actually replace some CapEx, some investments that Amazon has already been making and would continue to make. And also could be synergistic to revenues. That is, I think there are a number of different ways that we could talk about where they could increase the revenues of the combined business.
Let me turn you to the Walmart angle, which Courtney Reagan just left off on. Obviously, Amazon Prime and Whole Foods, those are kind of the same kinds of customers. So that maybe is a parallel. But if Amazon is able to squeeze suppliers and lower prices enough at Whole Foods, do you think they present a threat to a Walmart?
You know, honestly, I do think they present a threat, but I think we should talk about that. I think the threat that they present to Walmart is less on the grocery side, where I'm more concerned about the traditional grocers. But so Amazon has done a great job at electronics and general merchandise, shipping those things to you. Prime membership makes that very easy. On the other end, now they're adding grocery. They've been experimenting with grocery for 10 years now. So you get those two things, the fresh and organic produce from Whole Foods. But the big space that Amazon has not filled and has begun to with dash buttons, ordering by voice through the Amazon Echo via, you know, powered by Alexa, as well as subscribe and save, which they've been promoting very heavily. The general merchandise that you get from the middle of a Kroger or a Target or a Walmart, all those things that I don't really want to walk through the store and look for paper towels and right. soap and shampoo. If Amazon can help you with their algorithm to get the right frequency and just automatically deliver those things when you need them, it's a massive opportunity.
You know, there was a lot of talk today that there might be a bidding war because although Amazon has certainly very deep pockets, we saw the prices, as we mentioned, of some of those competitors in the grocery space, like a Kroger's, like a Super Value, take a big tumble. There's a lot of speculation that they cannot afford not to try and make a bid over this particular deal. What do you think?
Agreed. It's not going to be without its challenges for Amazon to complete this deal. And one of those challenges might be competitive bids. One challenge that the competitive bidders, such as a Kroger or any other traditional grocer, would face potentially, you know, people ask about antitrust. Well, if you already have a large share of grocery and you're buying somebody else who has a very large share of grocery, you know, that might be, you know, get a little bit more scrutiny. Whereas Amazon is less than 1% of U.S. grocery sales, you know, as of today. Something else to consider is that Whole Foods had already begun to roll out this new, slightly lower price, smaller mm-hmm. footprint Whole Foods 365 concept, which right. I think appeals more to millennials, more technology forward, more data driven in terms of the curation and the selection of products that wow. you find in those stores, which potentially it could be positive for Kroger, but that also could fit very well with Amazon's data driven model.
Yes, we will see. To be continued. AB Mendez with Frost Advisors. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue.
And to show just how wide-reaching the Amazon Whole Foods deal could be, shares of shopping center REITs also fell. The reason? Well, Wall Street is concerned that traditional grocery stores found at shopping centers are no longer safe assets. As a result, Kimco Realty, Brixmore Property, Regency Centers, and Weingarten Realty all fell in trading today. And the sell-off among the big retail and grocery companies caused the consumer staples sector to drop more than 1%, and that weighed on the broader market. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 24 points to 21,384, but the Nasdaq fell 13. The S&P 500 was up fractionally. And after a tough run for the tech stocks, the Nasdaq was the only major index that was lower this week. Consumers are feeling a bit less optimistic. A survey by the University of Michigan showed the biggest drop in sentiment since October. That slide reflects concerns about the president's economic policies and whether Congress will pass new legislation. According to the survey, more respondents expect a recession in the next 5 years than those who saw an uninterrupted expansion. In theory, the more optimistic people feel, the more they spend. And spending is a key component of economic activity. The number of new housing projects started in May fell for the third straight month. Given the lack of homes listed on the market, you would think builders would be eager to break ground, but that wasn't the case. According to the Commerce Department, housing starts dropped 5.5% last month, and building permits also fell. Economists say this could be a sign that the shortage of houses for sale might worsen. President Trump today announced his new policy towards Cuba, rolling back some of what President Obama did, but not all of it. Michelle Caruso Cabrera reports tonight from Miami.
In a speech full of anti-Castro rhetoric, President Donald Trump promised a largely Cuban-American audience a new attitude toward Cuba.
We will very strongly restrict American dollars flowing to the military, security, and intelligence services that are the core of the Castro regime. They will be restricted.
The new policy prohibits Americans from doing business with companies owned by the Cuban military. That's nearly everything on the communist island, including hotels, restaurants, the airports, and the ports. However, at the same time, any company already doing business in Cuba is grandfathered in, meaning cruise lines like Norwegian and Carnival and airlines such as Delta, United, American, JetBlue, and several others can continue operations. Marriott can presumably still manage a military-owned hotel.
I wouldn't call it a policy change in any way, shape, or form, because you see much of the same conditions.
One change that will impact individuals, tighter travel restrictions. Americans can no longer simply self-certify that they are going on a cultural exchange. It will have to be an officially licensed exchange with a tour group. At the iconic Café Versailles in Little Havana, unofficial headquarters of the Cuban exile community, President Trump was applauded.
Obama basically opened up the whole field for them. They said, go ahead, this is it. He gave and he didn't get. Now this guy's going to perhaps turn around and say, well, now you got to give a little. So let's see how it works out.
Final details on the new policies won't emerge for another 90 days as we await the Treasury Department to actually write the new regulations. President Trump held open the possibility of better relations with the Cuban government, but only if they improve their record on human rights and also hold free and fair elections. For Nightly Business Report, I'm Michelle Caruso Cabrera, Miami.
Still ahead, why some airlines are telling passengers to say cheese. The health insurer startup Oscar is teaming up with the Cleveland Clinic to offer a new health plan in Ohio, even as other insurers leave that state. The deal will give residents who are both on and off Obamacare exchanges access to one of the nation's top health systems. And for Oscar, it's the first co-branded plan with a health system.
If you think about what healthcare looks like to most people today, it's a fractured experience. You rarely know which physician to go best to with which condition. You forget about things that they tell you when you are in the ER on the way out. By going very deep, clinically and technologically speaking, with a provider system that is excellent as Cleveland is, we're creating a very much more seamless experience for people's healthcare.
The Cleveland Clinic says it makes sense to try and collaborate instead of replicating capabilities. And in the push to get passengers through airports with fewer delays this summer, the airlines are trying a new approach, using facial recognition systems to identify travelers. As we reported, one airport where the high-tech system is already being used is Boston's Logan Airport. Phil LeBeau has more.
Smile for the camera. That's all you need to board JetBlue's flights to Aruba from Boston. No more boarding passes or searching for your passport to prove your identity.
Ultimately, I think we see a future where your face is your passport for travel, where you can show up in an airport and your face checks you in, your face allows you to drop a bag, your face allows you to go through the TSA checkpoint and ultimately board a flight.
Delta agrees. It will soon use facial recognition to identify passengers checking their luggage before boarding certain flights out of Minneapolis.
This is just another step towards giving a customer something where if they're happy to do their own bag drop, let them do it. Customers are willing to.
Airlines are adding facial recognition to identify passengers for two reasons. First, self-serve ticket kiosks and mobile check-in apps have become so popular, passengers are not only comfortable with the technology, they use it to move quickly through the airport. Second, facial recognition systems are tied into databases like the one kept by the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol, so carriers can let a machine verify the identity of travelers, freeing up gate agents to concentrate on those passengers needing extra attention. What do travelers think?
That was pretty cool. It worked really fast, and I don't know, that was really interesting.
It seems like it's going a little slow, I think. I don't know, in comparison, but it didn't hurt.
Very easy and very fast.
JetBlue says it takes an average of less than 5 seconds for its facial recognition system to verify the identity of each passenger, about the same amount of time it takes for gate agents to physically look at a passport and a boarding pass. Ready or not, airlines are using high-tech selfies to speed up how quickly they can get you on flights. Phil LeBeau, Nightly Business Report, Chicago.
The tech startup Impinj may benefit from Amazon's deal to buy Whole Foods. That's where we begin tonight's Market Focus. The company makes radio frequency identification tags, which are used in retail to track inventory. Amazon is reportedly part of a group led by the company that encourages adoption of the technology. There is speculation Amazon could potentially use Impinj's technology at some point in Whole Foods stores. Shares of Impinj jumped 19% to $55.71. But on the flip side, shares of the payment processing company Vantiv were lower following the news of the Amazon deal. The deal raised concerns there will be softer demand for Vantiv's services. Analysts at the financial firm Baird called the merger a, quote, mild negative for Vantiv, as they expect it to cut into the company's revenue slightly. Vantiv shares were off more than 3.5% to $60.60. Activist hedge fund Trian reportedly filed a notice for a board seat at Procter & Gamble. That's according to CNBC. Back in February, Trian disclosed a $3.5 billion stake in the consumer products company. P&G shares rose a fraction to $89.66. And a former CenturyLink employee has filed suit against the telecom company, alleging she was fired after raising concerns about fraudulent customer billings. According to Bloomberg, the complaint says CenturyLink customers were charged millions of dollars for accounts they never requested. Shares were off more than 4% to $25.72. Time now for our market monitor, who has names of stocks and ETFs he says you'll want to own over the next 2 years. Last time he was on, it was in December, and his recommended stock picks were Anheuser-Busch, InBev, Nike, and TJX. Their performances are mixed. Joining us is Hank Smith, Chief Investment Officer at Haverford Trust. Welcome, Hank. Nice to have you here.
It's good to be with you. Good evening.
Let's get right to your picks. Your first one is DuPont. Yep. And basically, you say there's significant cost reductions going on at that company over the last 18 months. And basically, there's going to be a split into separate companies. There are a lot of things going on at this particular stock.
Right. The first catalyst is near term in August. The merger with Dow and DuPont occur. And then over the next 18 months, they're estimating $3 billion of cost taken out. all in the context of an improving underlying environment for their end markets. The agricultural cycle is bottoming, is improving. Global economy has picked up. That's all very helpful. Then they split into three companies, a material sciences company, a specialty products company, and an ag science company, agricultural science company. And that should be the next catalyst to create shareholder value. And from there, we might even get more breakups from those individual three companies. So we think this is a very good 2 to 3, 4 year play for buyers of DuPont today.
And you have a couple ETFs that you want to share with us as well. The first one is IJR, the S&P 600 small cap ETF, which was doing pretty well. And then it had a bit of a setback.
That's right. It did very well at the beginning of the so-called Trump trade from the elections to year end. But we've seen a reversal in that Trump trade, and the sectors and areas like small stocks that did well have given back some of those gains. And we think that's an opportunity today to take that relative weakness, add to those positions, because you're not getting paying much of a premium over the valuation of the S&P 500 for the small cap representative index, and you're getting better earnings growth. So we like that today.
And again, maybe a 2 year hold on that particular issue. And let's finish up.
Absolutely.
Let's finish up with another ETF, the IEMG iShares, which is a core MSCI emerging markets ETF. So this is how you're playing a global play.
Correct. I think you get much better diversification attributes investing in emerging markets as opposed to developed international markets. Plus, emerging economies have bottomed and are starting to grow again as commodity prices have come off of the bottom. And this is an area that has been such a relative underperformer for a handful of years. And we think is poised to do very well because the valuations are quite attractive compared to the developed markets.
All right. Hank, we'll leave it there. Have a great weekend. Hank Smith with Haverford Trusts.
Same to you.
Coming up, tis the season to hit the links.
I'm Dominic Chu at the U.S. Open in Erin Hills, Wisconsin. Later on, we'll talk about why Father's Day and the U.S. Open make for a great pairing when it comes to the retail industry of golf. That's coming up on Nightly Business Report.
McDonald's will no longer be a sponsor of the Olympic Games. After supporting the event for 41 years and contributing more than $1 billion every four-year cycle, the fast food giant pulled out of its contract early. The company said the decision comes as it shifts its focus to different priorities. Well, it may be the middle of June, but for golf equipment retailers, it feels like Christmas. Dominic Chu tells us why it's the most wonderful time of the year for this industry. He's at the U.S. Open in Erin Hills, Wisconsin.
When it comes to the world of retail, it's all about the holiday shopping season. November and December are when stores sell the most stuff. But in the world of golf, peak shopping season is right now. A week with both Father's Day and the U.S. Open Golf Championship being played this year at Erin Hills in Wisconsin.
Father's Day is like Christmas in June. It is extremely important. In fact, this is the number one week of the year, and Christmas is actually our number two week of the year in sales.
Golf retailers like PGA Tour Superstores and others will be looking to get as many customers in the door and shopping online as possible. While much of the attention in the golf world revolves around big-ticket equipment, like drivers and irons, many of the best sellers around the summer season will be gifts with smaller price tags as well. Well,
the best-selling items are always golf balls, and the Titleist golf balls, dozen golf balls, is probably the best gift for Dad. We've got some tremendous new footwear out there, the new Under Armour shoe. We've got all the technology, the watches, the range finders, new drivers from Callaway, the Epic driver. So lots and lots to choose from.
golf clothing and equipment company Cobra Puma says that on average, sales of its polo shirts soar by around 50% during the Father's Day season, along with its hats and caps, which rise by around 30% this time of year. This year could be critical when it comes to momentum for the game, which is finally showing signs of stabilization after a downtrend since the financial crisis. And industry executives want to make sure that sales continue to grow.
I think if we continue to do the right things, not just manufacturers, but importantly the governing bodies of the sport, and allow accessibility across all generations, all ethnicities, all genders to really get into the game and enjoy it the way we do, I'm very confident that golf will be just fine long term.
According to the National Golf Foundation, a record 2.5 million newcomers entered the game in America last year. Now the industry has to figure out whether they can convert those newcomers into regular golfers. For Nightly Business Report, I'm Dominic Chu, Erin Hills, Wisconsin, at the U.S. Open.
Our big story tonight was the Amazon acquisition of Whole Foods, which could change the landscape of the $800 billion grocer industry. But what do Whole Foods shoppers think of the deal? We decided to find out.
I think it's exciting. You can buy everything on Amazon. So it just makes sense. It's a brilliant strategy.
Maybe I'm old school and I just like that experience of actually like going into the store and see what's there.
Well, I'm curious as to how it will affect the Amazon grocery delivery as it stands now. Hopefully, it'll give us more options as Amazon Prime members.
Hopefully, the prices can be a little bit more competitive.
I have three very young kids, so logistically, it's tricky to shop with all of them. So I'm hoping it might make things better.
I kind of like Amazon, but what do they know about the fresh fruit?
I will switch over. I love Whole Foods food. I think it's better than Fresh Direct. And I saw the stock went up a little bit, so they absorbed it like for nothing. So it looked like a great deal.
Stock went up a lot, actually. Well, good luck. We'll keep you posted on how that works. That's Nightly Business Report for tonight. I'm Sue Herrera. Thanks for joining us. Have a great Father's Day weekend, everybody out there. We'll see you Monday.